Good morning, church. Please be seated. Welcome to Church of Savior. Today, this morning, I have good news, I have great news, and I have the best news for you, right? The good news, I don't have to tell you, right? You know, someone say TOP stands for this old pastor. But we got our permission for the new building. Praise God. After such a long time of waiting, you know, we have come through this milestone. And actually on Thursday, on Friday night, there was a wedding here, right? One of our youth, Nicholas Tay and Michelle, they got married. And so that was the very first. They didn't use the chapel, but they used the atrium area. But on Thursday, we still didn't have the TOP. And, you know, this guy was thinking, if tomorrow we don't get TOP, there's no dinner for the wedding. Because the wedding was in the auditorium. But on Thursday afternoon, we heard that maybe 2 o'clock it might happen. But nothing happened at 2 o'clock. All the staff were gathered in 308, were sitting around. And 4 o'clock, someone came and said, we got it. And, you know, what an exciting time. Because, you know, straight away the caterer set up everything. Right? Praise God. Because God is faithful, right? I mean, blessed are those who wait because they shall eat the fruit, right? And you guys have waited, so well done. We really enjoyed this. You know, this new building is so exciting. Yesterday, we had our first homecoming Chinese youth service upstairs, 4 o'clock. So, you know, they came and, you know, it was an exciting service. Previously, they have been nomads, right? They have been going everywhere, staying everywhere. But now they are back here and I believe this is a place where God is going to allow them to grow. Amen? Amen? Now, the other thing was, this morning, the Filipino service is back, right? So they are actually upstairs. They are meeting, having their service upstairs. So we want to see them grow as well. Now, if you look at this, and by the way, my office is back here. Finally, you know. I don't have to explain to people, you know. My church is here, but my office is in Bukit Merah, you know. Pastor, can I see you? Where should I see you? Now I'm here, I will be roaming around the place. And so I'll get to see all of you who are having your ministry, your, you know, healing rooms and cell group meetings. I'll be walking around checking on you now, okay? So, behave yourself, but, you know, please feel free to come up. Now, this building is not 100% ready yet. You know, the signages are not up, the bench, the chairs, there are a lot more things that are going on. It's going to be even better, right? But at least now we can get in there and start working on this thing. Previously, we can't do anything. We can't do ID, interior decor and all that. So now we are coming into this place. So in the days to come, we will eventually have some kind of open house. We have tour groups to bring you around. But you can roam the place, okay? Very exciting. Don't enjoy yourself because there's a certain place we haven't marked out clearly. Don't enjoy yourself. But, you know, I want to say, welcome to Church of Our Savior, right? Praise God. As with any new building, there's some adjustment, okay? And then we need to manage our expectation. Today, the lift, only one of the two lifts are operating. I've noticed this lift is a bit slow, or maybe I'm a bit impatient. But it still takes 30 seconds to open and close, right? So, no, okay, it's not as bad as that. But, you know, this lift actually serves 9 stories. We've got 4 basement, and then 5 upstairs. So, altogether, 9 stories. So, when you want to go up or down, you always have to wait, you know, because the lift is almost never at the floor that you want it to be, alright? So, for those of you who cannot wait, there are actually 2 steps, A and B. They double as weight loss mechanisms as well. So, if you can walk and you cannot wait, then use the stairs, go up and down, okay? So, you can try that. You can also use the existing lift, go up to third floor. There are 2 link bridges on every floor. So, you can still go across and then walk a little bit, you know, and have a wonderful time out there. The atrium is beautiful. More work will be done. So that's just a lot of things. And I just want to say one last thing. The ramp going in, how many of you park downstairs today? Not so many because, you know, 8:30 people, they're so busy looking in a building, they never remove their car, okay? So, but when you come out afterwards, do be careful. The car park is fine. The ramp is a little bit narrow. Some people, they go in, they thought it's one way. Wow, very big. No, it's not very big. It's a 2-way ramp. Okay? So there are cars coming up as well. We haven't put up the mirrors yet. So please don't bang each other's car because we don't want people to get upset and leave church because of this. Alright? So just keep in mind, this is the good news, right? Praise the Lord for this. I have great news. You know, last week, we had a wonderful service, didn't we? Right? And so many people got healed and got amazing testimony. And we had one lady who couldn't walk and then started walking. You know, God is doing something amazing here. And you know what? Last week, the English services altogether, we have about 24 salvation. Chinese service, 20 salvation. Last week, there are 44 people got saved in this church. And that's just the beginning. Amen. I mean, we're not even counting rededications. These are just the people who responded. There may be other people who wanted to. In fact, this morning some of them actually came. And we are trying to follow up these people. This is a new beginning. Now, God is doing His work, you know, in all areas of this church. We believe, right? In the elderly, in the adults, in the youth, but also in the children's segment. And I believe I mentioned before, you know, in the kids, we actually have many salvations coming on. This morning I'm going to ask Debbie and Chris to come up and tell us a little bit about what God is doing in the children's side, right, really quickly.
Morning, church. Wow, so good to be back. My name is Christopher. Some of you may know me as the youth pastor in the Chinese ministry. I'm also the children pastor. So I just want to say thank you very much for praying for us. We have been roaming, but we are back now, and it's so good to be back. Why don't you turn to your neighbor and say, church is not for us to spectate, but to participate. That's what I always tell people. Now, this morning, I have news for you. That is how our children ministry have started this birthday outreaches since last year. And over the course of about a few months, we saw people, children coming to faith. And last birthday party, we had a collaboration with the English children ministry. And in the last Ang Pao birthday party, we have about 10 salvations. And one of them, Debbie herself, is following up with the family. So I let her share how this story unfolds.
Good morning, church. For the last few months, okay, we have been teaching the children to reach out to their friends. So in February, we have this pair of brothers who came for the very first time at their very first visitation to Coos Kids. They accepted Christ. And so we invited them back for the birthday party. They came. And the important thing, the best part about this is they came from a non-Christian family. Both their parents didn't allow them to come. So they came and talked to me and I said, you know, we have to honor your parents, right? As a pastor, we need to teach them to do the right thing. So I taught them to honor their parents, but they can pray to Jesus. So they did. And since then, since the first visitation and the first Ang Pao party, they have been coming. Their auntie has been bringing them. Praise the Lord. Their parents allowed them to come week after week. And this, one of the younger brother, okay, after attending the services and the birthday party, is so excited about Jesus, he went back to his class and shared Christ with all his classmates. And this coming birthday party, he took so many flyers and said, Auntie Debbie, I'm going to give every one of my friend in my class a flyer. Whether is it the camp or the birthday party, I'm going to invite them to church. Hallelujah! You know, we're going to have a young evangelist in our midst.
So we are seeing not only the children bring their friends, but adults are bringing. You know what? The children don't walk to church all by themselves. In fact, the adults are the ones that are bringing them. So for this coming birthday party, we want to urge you, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to bring a child to church. You're not responding. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going to bring a child to church. Okay, for the April's birthday party, we want to highlight to you that it's a Saturday and also Sunday birthday party outreach. So we would like to involve you. We'd like you to participate in this. Now, we are not here just to announce about this birthday party. We are here to actually cast a vision. The next generation need us to be involved, need us to reach out to them. So I always remember after taking on the children ministry that Spurgeon, when he reached out to children, one day he came back and someone asked him, how many people were saved today? And he said, 2.5 people. He said, 2.5 people? You mean 2 adults and 1 child? He said, no, 2 children and 1 adult. And for that, I want to explain to you why he said 2 children and 1 adult. Because he said that our lives are like candle. I don't have a candle here, but I have a stick. And then Pastor Debbie is going to make sure she don't burn herself, okay? So for those of you who are older, your candle is burning very short, huh? But the one that's longer, you have a whole lifetime. But you know what? One day, all of us, we're going to be snuffed out. But whether it's going to be turned into a beautiful flower, it depends on where you place the children's hand in. And someone says that if you put your life in your own hands, it's only pain and problem. But if you put it in God's hand, it's powerful and purposeful. So let's do this together. All right?
Amen. Now I feel like I need to make some magic trick also. But you know, we are so encouraged because, you know, they are doing work. If you look at our, there's a feature wall up here, right? I know it's not complete. You look upstairs, you see there's a cardboard cross there. There was going to be a proper cross, but you know that top section is not populated. That's for the next generation to put up their story. You understand what I'm saying? But if we don't do this, there'll be no next generation. Guys, we are it. We are responsible to bring the next generation to God. Can you say amen? Okay, so this is just next week. 14 April is next Saturday. So let's go back and just bring somebody. And you know, if all of us make a little bit of effort, the net effect is going to be a very big effect. Amen? Today, you know, the best news. Okay, so we have good news, we have great news. The best news is actually we are just getting started. This is just the beginning. And I believe that with God's help, we're going to accomplish even more for God. You know, I don't know exactly where Singapore is in God's divine timeline. I don't know. But I know that these are urgent times. And there's an opportunity, a window of opportunity, that if we don't seize, the window will close and we will live in regret. But since the window is open for us now, let's go for it. There's a lot of things happening in the world today. But right now, while it is day, let us work for the kingdom of God, right? Now today, I want to talk to you about something really important. You know, recently I've already spent quite a bit of time talking about God's purpose for you. Why every single one of you need to discover God's purpose for your own lives, right? Because we want to be people who are moving with purpose. Don't waste your life. Life is very short. Our life is getting shorter every day. So don't waste your life. But just as there is a purpose God has for you as an individual, I believe that God has a purpose for us as a group, as a community, and as a generation. Psalm chapter 33, verse 11 says this. It says, "The counsel of the Lord stands forever, the plans of his heart to all generations." Everyone say generations. God's plans are not just for you alone. Yes, God loves you very much, but God has a purpose for the generation, for the whole group of people. One of our favorite verses is Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. We always read this at the beginning of the year or when we're going through uncertain times. When we say, "For I know the thoughts I think towards you," right? That the Lord, says the Lord, "Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you a future and a hope." We love this verse and we apply it to ourselves. However, many of you may not realize that in the Hebrew, the word "to you," "for I know the thoughts I think towards you," the "you" there is alikem, which is plural. Actually, this verse is a verse to the generation. It's a verse to the group of people, not just to the individual. So yes, you can apply it to yourself, but don't forget to put it back where it originally belongs. It's something that God is giving to the whole people. So today, as we are gathered here, I believe that God does not only have a plan and purpose for you individually, which I believe He does, but God has a plan and purpose for us as a generation of people, and particularly Church of Our Savior as a church. Today, I do not know how you came here or why you came here, but the fact that you are here suggests that God has a plan for you being here. And so together, we have a purpose. Can you say amen? Are you sure? Yes, we have a purpose, right? Get this in your mind. You need to train our mind to be aligned to God's purpose. So in the Bible, there are many times when the people lost their purpose. Isaiah was speaking to a people who are in exile. Exile was a difficult time. They had no land of their own. They were far away in a foreign land. They were oppressed. So in all these times, sooner or later, the people became discouraged. They became unfruitful. And they started to lose their belief and their hope in God. In fact, the circumstances of their life had beaten out the very dreams out of their life. They stopped dreaming already. And they started to say, you know, what can we do? The situation is like this. Live and let live, right? Say la vie. Just live and let live. What can you do? But you know what? This is not God's plan for church, right? God's plan for the church is not just live and let live. Because, you know, we are supposed to the people to be the people who bring about God's kingdom. So this is our purpose. So not just live and let live. Finally, Isaiah had to tell these people. He says to them in Isaiah chapter 54, which is what I'm going to talk to you about today. He says, "Sing, O barren, you who have not born." Isaiah 54 verse 1, right? This is not just talking about not having children, right? They are talking about the situation of the people. We are unfruitful. We're not producing the next generation. We're not reaching out to people. And God is saying that, listen, you who feel like a barren woman, listen, you will have more children than the normal people. I'm going to do something. So start dreaming again. This is what God told the people. Start dreaming again. Don't allow life to get you in a rut where all you think about is just day-to-day things. Get your mind, think about things that are above. Think about divine things. Think about God's things. Don't just have your eyes down here. You know, when God told Abraham, you remember Abraham? When he was still Abraham and God came to him. And he has just parted way with Lot, his nephew. And Lot had taken all the good land and Abraham had taken the mountains. God came to Abraham and said to Abraham, Abraham, lift up your eyes and see. Right? Lift up your eyes and count the stars if you can. Why did God tell Abraham this? Because his eyes is down here. You know, many of us are navel-gazing. You know what's navel-gazing? Looking at your navel, right? All we can think in our life, my problem, my life, my boss, my this, my that, my needs. You know what God is saying to us? Guys, lift up your eyes. Look up, dream again. Count the stars if you can. Amen? So all of you, some of you are navel-gazing experts, right? You need to lift up your eyes. Don't look at your navel anymore. Salvation will not come from your navel. Salvation is coming from God. Amen? Amen. So what happens is Isaiah began to tell these people, sing, O you barren, God is going to do something. And if you read the rest of Isaiah 54, it's full of promises of God. And some of our most favorite verses actually come from that. You know, the verse like, no weapon that's formed against you shall... You know this verse? It's from Isaiah 54. In fact, from verse 3 onwards, the whole chapter is chock full of promises of what God is going to do for these people, right? But that promise all follows one singular instruction in this whole chapter. And that is verse 2. Now, recently, a lot has been happening. And about 2 weeks ago, one of my close friends, Pastor Rick Seward, he passed away. He died in a car accident in Brazil, 10 o'clock at night. And we heard it very short after, because I know Jeremy and all this. Early in the morning, I got this news. And we were shocked because, you know, I've not always known Rick, but in the years that I've known him, he has been a great, someone that I truly respect. But even before I knew him, long ago, when my church was in roving around, renting different places. One of the places we rented was President Hotel. And across from President Hotel, because that was Kitchener Road, was this big campus known as Calvary Charismatic Center. How many of you remember that? You're all old people, alright? So, you know, we used to go there and, you know, all these buildings, Rafa building, Nisi building, do you remember this? Right? All these different places. That was the first mega church in Singapore, right? And Pastor Rick Seward was a single-minded person. He was one-track mind. All he can think about is missions and evangelism. And many people don't know, he was a very humble man. He did great things. Do you know, Rick Seward, through his church, planted 10,000 churches. Just think about that. This is the most in the world, right? More than any church in America, in United States, in UK, in Europe. A Singaporean church planted probably the most number of churches than, and that's this one man, right? So I was very saddened by the news. I was thinking about this. I mean, we haven't even planted 10,000 persons yet. I'm not even cell group, but we will try to strive towards that. Amen. Amen. This church, no, look, we are not retiring yet, right? We are just getting started. Amen. Okay. So, I was thinking about this. I was thinking, you know, what's going to happen, man? Lord, Rick planted 10,000 churches. Now, you took him back. Who's going to do the work now? Who is going to pick up the baton that Rick has left behind? And I was on the bus, I was thinking about this. And I was thinking, you know, not so long ago, Billy Graham passed away. Billy Graham was a man who preached the gospel to millions upon millions of people. Many people, a countless number of people have come to Christ because of the faithfulness of that one man who was single-minded, who gave his life without reserve to the cause of the gospel. One man, God used him with the help of others to reach even the furthest places, right? And then he died. And I started thinking, God, what about Billy Graham? You know, he died. Who is going to be the next Billy Graham? Who will pick up the baton of the Billy Graham for this generation? God, as I was thinking about this, then I felt God speaking to me. He said, Daniel, not that you, I'm going to do it, okay? Okay, don't get me wrong. But I said, Daniel, cause enlarge your tent. That's Isaiah chapter 54 verse 2. I knew that verse. Enlarge your tent. I was thinking, what does this mean? I mean, surely we cannot be like Billy Graham. We cannot be like Rick Seward, although we should be a little bit like that, right? If he can do it, if Calvary VFC can do this. There's no reason why our church is not doing more. You understand what I'm saying? Right. Do you agree? That, you know, we are not weak. We are strong in Jesus Christ. Amen? We are not a small church. We're going to have to do something. So as I say, Lord, what do you mean? That we must enlarge our church. But suddenly, I kind of get the understanding that, you know, don't worry about Billy Graham. Don't worry about Rick Seward. Worry about Kus. Kus, we are here, we have a purpose, a divine purpose. It's not a small purpose, but it will require the church to rise up and enlarge our tent, which is why today I want to talk to you about what it means to enlarge our tent. Everyone say enlarge our tent. Okay, so what does this mean for us to enlarge our tent? Isaiah 54 verse 2 has four components to it. I'm just going to read this to you. Enlarge the place of your tent. And let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. The four things here are this. Enlarge the place of your tent. Secondly, do not spare. Third of all, stretch out the cords. The last one is strengthen your stakes or strengthen your pegs. These four things are being presented to us curiously in reverse order. Because normally if you want to enlarge the tent, you start by strengthening the stakes. And then you stretch the cords, and then you do the curtains, and finally you enlarge the tent. But, you know, strangely, it's presented to us in reverse order, right? Because you want to look at the end. Some, you know, people say, start with the end in mind. Let's look at what the end will be. And then we understand why you need to stretch, why you need to strengthen your stakes. Let's begin with strengthening our stakes from the back to the front, okay? The last 2 years, we've spent a lot of time in this church strengthening our stakes, laying the biblical foundation for our faith. We talk about covenant until some of you are so sick of hearing about covenant all the time, right? We talk about how we went through all the first five books of the Bible, understanding the place and purpose of the law, understanding the intricacies of God's plan and vision for the kingdom of God. We then also spent quite a lot of time looking through Jesus' teaching about the kingdom of God through the parables of the kingdom. Some of you may remember this. We went through every single parable of the kingdom in the Bible. In fact, we mentioned quite a lot of parables more than any other time. We understood. We look at the role of the Spirit in the church through the series called Charismatic Impulse to understand why we cannot do this in our own strength, why we need the Holy Spirit. We also spent some time looking at the values that we wanted to inculcate. Fire up. Remember this? Faith, integrity, responsibility, excellence, unity, and prayer. All these things are no accident. All this series that you look were planned something like 3 years ago. 3 years ago, we sat down and said, you know what, we're going to have a church building, we're going to establish the foundation of the church during the time that we're building this church building, because it's going to be very inconvenient. Let's spend the time building our foundation, strengthening our stakes. However, information alone is not sufficient to build a strong church. Information alone is not enough to give us strong stakes. It is very important to help us to make sure that we don't believe in the wrong things, but there is something more important. The strength of a stake lies in the character of the community. And the character of the community lies in the character of the individual. In other words, one of the key things that determine how strong the stakes of a church is actually the character of the individual members that make up the community. Turn to your neighbor and say, I think he's talking about you. Right? If the individuals in the church are made up of selfish people, if the individuals that come to the church are made out of people who only think about their own needs, who only think about how their needs are not being met, who are being entitled, or who are perhaps impatient or upset, that will become the aggregation of that is becoming the character of the community. On the other hand, if the individuals of the community are gracious people, loving people, people who want to give and serve, who are generous in their heart, who are willing to go the extra mile to do something for the kingdom of God, who are proud of God, who are zealous for God, that will become the character of the community. You see, knowledge alone, the Bible says, puffs up the mind, right? So just knowledge alone is not enough. The character of the community is so important. And when we think about how we can enlarge this tent and strengthen the stake, one of the things you need to address is we need to address the character of our community. You know, there's no community that's made out of perfect people, right? We know none of us are perfect. Anyone who's been married before know this, you know. There's no perfect husband or perfect wife. But that doesn't mean that we cannot have perfect marriages. Because perfect marriages do not require perfect people. It just requires a lot of love and a lot of grace. That's what makes things perfect. In the same way, having a church like this, it will never be made of perfect people, because I'll be the first to admit I'm not perfect. But you know what? We can have a very strong community if we have things like faith, grace, love, kindness. What makes a strong community is when the community has the room. We make room for one another's flaws and sometimes idiosyncrasies, right? Our weirdness, right? We have room for this because our heart is big. When your heart is big, the strength of community will be strong. So one of the things we need to do as we go forward, we need to enlarge our hearts, right? Can you say, enlarge my heart? Some of us got very small heart, lah. Huh? You need to enlarge your heart. Okay, you need, because as you go through the new building, there are a lot of things that will test your patience. For example, the lift. The lift will test your patience. I guarantee you, I've been taking a lift so many times. I can tell you it's never at the floor that I want it to be on. It's always going in the wrong direction, right? And then some people, they press 2, you know. You know, pressing 2 will make it come faster. It make everything go slower, right? So I was thinking, you know, many times I just climb the stairs. You know, that's why I'm losing a lot of weight now. So you will also lose a lot of weight pretty soon, right? Especially with the impatient people. So, you know, when we think about this, we want to learn to wait. You know, this building has taken us 2+ years, right? I mean, there are many people who could not wait for the completion of the building. So I know that some members who left because it's just too inconvenient for them. It was just not what they expected. They wanted something a lot more easier for them. Listen, guys, the stakes are what holds the community together. When every one of us make a decision, we're going to build this community. We're going to hold this community together. We're going to say good things about our community. You know, the community becomes strong. But when everyone starts complaining, this church, you know, I parked car the other day, you know, I scratched the wall, you know, the wall is too big. You know, it's like people say, I walk on the wall, who put the wall here? You know, sometimes I don't know what to say also to these kind of people, right? But when we think about the church and the role, every one of you, you are an anchor. You are what makes people say good things about our community. Do you know that? Right? So don't complain. Tell people good things about our church. Can we do that? Can we, huh? It's not very convincing, man. So, but okay, we shall see. We shall see, okay? So first thing, when we rein in our self, our flesh, we say all of us, we are flesh and blood, right? But this flesh has its own reactions. But you know what? We've got to allow God's purpose and Holy Spirit to reign in this thing. So that, yes, we may have these human reactions, but we are always mindful that I'm not my own. I belong to Jesus Christ. And the moment we allow the Holy Spirit command over our humanness, that's the moment that we become the pegs that hold our community together. Very important. Secondly, we need to stretch the cords. Everyone say stretch. You need to lengthen those cords. Why must we lengthen the cords? Because the Bible says, old wineskins can never contain new wine. Mark chapter 2 verse 22, it says this, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else new wine bursts the wineskins and the wine is spilled and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. If you put the new wine, which I believe God is about to do in this place, in fact, I believe God is already pouring new wine in this place, into the old wineskins, you know what will happen? Both are lost. The wine is lost. The wineskins are also lost. Right? Now, I know many of us are considered very concerned with our skins, right? Not new wineskins, but new skin, right? You women, right? You go to Korea, where do you go? You go to Myeongdong, right? And what do you buy? You buy face mask thing, I don't know, right? I wasn't born yesterday, right? And every night, you have your ritual, right? Certain time of night, you put your face mask, 20 minutes. I also know because I got a wife, right? Sometimes I walk around, I get shocked, you know. Like superhero like this, right? Now why do you do this? Why do you do this every single day? Because you want to keep your skin supple, right? Flexible, stretchable. You don't want them to become calcified, petrified, like, you know, antique rock like that. So you do all these things. But you know what? This same principle is true of us. Many of us, our hearts have become calcified and petrified. We can no longer change. God cannot change anything. We won't do new thing, cannot, because our heart cannot stretch anymore, you see? But you know, I realized so in so many years of being a pastor that almost any kind of change is resisted in the church. It doesn't matter whether it's good change, bad change, godly change, human change, any kind of change by its own fact that it's a change is resisted by people. Why? Because humanly, we tend to optimize for one thing, you see. We get used to one thing, we make ourselves efficient in one thing. The moment you change, it's an inconvenience. If right now, I ask every one of you to shift one seat, just one seat, it's a small change, one seat to one side, you know what will happen? Most of you will, why must we do that? Because the moment you see the next seat, wrong temperature, you know? Because the other person's, you know, warm up to a different temperature, yours warm up to a different temperature. You say, too cold, too hot, you know? Human nature is like this, you understand? This is human nature. But guess what? The church is not governed by human nature. We're governed by the Spirit of God. That's why sometimes, you know, people don't understand. They think, I'm just like that. Listen, Lady Gaga say born that way. No, we are born again. Amen? We are born in the Holy Spirit, right? So, I want all of you to know, we must train ourselves to be people who are flexible, who can stretch our cords. Amen? Amen? So, we can be flexible. It's okay. Can change a bit. Won't die one. I promise you. Nobody ever died because they had to make these kind of small changes in their life. And so, when Isaiah told the people, you need to stretch your cords, it's something that applies to all of us. We need to learn how to stretch without losing our zeal. Because I know there are also some people who, when we make them stretch, they'll stretch up, but then, okay lah, stretch lah, okay, yeah, you know, very unhappy, but we want to do this while maintaining our zeal. Because our eyes are on the Lord, right? We're not looking at ourselves. We're not looking at our convenience. We're thinking about, Lord, how can I be one day like Rick Seward? Because when Rick goes to heaven, and he's there now, you know what? I think the angels also want to see this guy. I believe Paul also want to see this guy. Because Paul also never planted as many churches as this guy, right? So, I mean, you want to see Paul want to see Rick. You know, when one day we go up there, I want us to bring something wonderful to the Lord. I don't want us to be paupers in heaven. You understand what I'm saying? Right? We invest all our things here. Now, I want us to invest. So, that's why we need to be zealous for the Lord. Third of all, the Bible says, do not spare, or spare nothing. Spare nothing. Everyone say, spare nothing. Yeah, can have a bit more energy when you say spare nothing. Because it's just sparing something, right? Say, spare nothing. This is something you've got to train ourselves. We've got to train ourselves to spare nothing. Now, to give your best, to give as much as you can, and then to go above and beyond that, and give more of your energy to the Lord, of your strength to the Lord. You know, God did not spare His only Son. God did not turn to His angel Michael and say, Michael, you've been doing a good job. I'm sorry you have to be the one to go. Right? Michael, you go and die for them. Right? Or God did not turn to Gabriel and say, Gabriel, you are a wonderful messenger. Right now, I need to send your last message. Please go to the cross and die for them. God did not. The Bible says, God did not spare His only Son. God did not spare His very best. He gave His very best for us. Amen? What about us? Do we give God our very best? If you want to enlarge God's kingdom, we have to give God our very best. And sometimes I think, you know, sometimes I think we don't give God our very best. You know, a church that's in revival is a church that's giving its very best in every aspect, including in the energy of the church. You know, many times in the church, I want to say this again, but, you know, one of our backup singers, and our singers, his name is Jeffrey Sung. Anyone you know Jeffrey? If you don't know Jeffrey, he's jumping up and down. Hallelujah. You can even feel him boom, boom, boom like this from standing in front there, you know. You can hear him, you can see him, you can feel him, right? And that guy is like Energizer Bunny, full of energy. You know, I like Jeffrey. Because whenever I see Jeffrey, I say, you know, I can give more. The Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, right, there is liberty. Amen? Right? Many times church is like a classroom. It's not like liberty, it's like classroom. In a classroom, if anyone talk, a teacher will throw chalk, pang, like that, right? Or throw duster, right? But this is not a classroom. This is the place where the Spirit of God is moving, where we can dance like David danced. This is a place where it should be energetic. Amen? I tell you, I want to go to a church where it's energetic. You know, I want to bring my friends to a church where, you know, you come to a church, everyone's like half dead, like that. You know? When I went to Japan, I was being a very good Anglican. I decided to go to an Anglican church in Tokyo. I went to the church early, as I always do. Very interesting. The whole church, all white hair people. Those days, my hair is white also. So I felt, maybe I'm in the right place. But the problem is, all of them are women. And all of them are 70 years old and over. Or at least they definitely look like that. The only man in the whole place is the pastor, Ang Mo Lang. Right? His hair is also white. So, you know, I told my wife, I don't think this is the right place for us. Right? Because you know why? I believe the church of God needs to be a place where the joy of the Lord is evident. When people come, they can see God is here. But if they come to place and see like funeral service like this, I don't think I want to go. Because if I go for 2-3 weeks, I might become like them. Right? So, let me ask you. You want to be in a church that's high energy or low energy? That's right. That's why we want to sing faster songs rather than slower songs, right? Now, that means every one of us in church, you need to give all. When I preach, you help me preach. You know, when I was in South Africa, very funny, you know, I go to this South African church first time. I started preaching my heart out, right? And Jesus loves you and Jesus is going to do this and that. Then suddenly someone said, come on now. I stopped, you know. How come we got people talking during service? Right? Because you know, we are Asians in the classroom, right? When pastor preach, no one talk. I tell you, this is not classroom. You all can talk. You help me preach lah. So the guy called, come on now. I look around, I'm not used to it, right? Then I continue to preach lah. After a little while, someone else said, come on now, I stop again. After a few of these, I started to realize they're actually helping me preach. Right? They said, preach it, brother. You know, in church, all this is our family place. This is where we come before the Lord. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Amen? So let us make sure we show it. It's okay one. You know, I'm not one of those pastors. What you talk? This is all of us. Alright? Amen? Okay, so this is what we need to do. We need to give our energy. We need to give our all. You know, so many times when I preach in other church, I always evaluate the other church and I'll see, you know, what this church needs. And I'll tell you, 9 out of 10 times, they don't need a better sermon. They don't need better strategies. What they need is alive people with energy. Right? So often the church people will just sit there, you know, so I'll go to church like that. Let's see if you can wake me up today, you know. Don't be like this. Okay, you're in the house of God. Amen. There's no better place to be than in the house of God. Now I'm getting the feeling already, right? Do not spare. You know, I tell you honestly, today I'm coughing, right? I'm actually sick. Afterwards, I'll ask Pastor Joseph to do the communion. But even though I'm sick, I'm here to give my very best because I want to give my best to God and I will give my best to all of you, right? This is how we ought to be. You know, in the last 6 months, I've actually lost 5 kilograms, 5 kg. You know, my wife said, how do you do it? It's not fair. Right? I tell you how I do it. Every time I want to go and eat lunch, someone wants to see me. Right? And they always say short time, but short time is never short time. In fact, in my office, there's the talking clock that will announce the time. 12 o'clock, you know, something like this. And I always set it half an hour earlier, so that when people talk to me, half an hour before ending time, 12 o'clock, huh? So fast, Okay. But they always go over time still, right? These are all the sacrifices we have to make. You know what? You got to do what you got to do if you are devoted and committed to growing the church of God. Right? I tell you, I'm sold out to growing this church. Because this is God's opportunity, window of opportunity for us. Life is short. I only got one life. I want to make it count. I hope you want to make yours count too. Amen? So collectively, we'll fulfill the purpose of God. So do not spare. Do not spare. Right? Don't hold back. And then finally, enlarge your tent. Many times when we think about enlarging our tent, we only think about a physical enlargement of the tent. Build a new building, build a new place, right? And I think that's important. But actually in the Hebrew, the word there is rav or rahav, which actually means great. Make great your tent. Now, greatness is a bit different from enlargement. Enlargement is physical. But greatness is to make great the name of God. Make great the glory of God. Make great the honor of God in this nation. So that we'll fly the banner of God. I mean, for us, it's in Queenstown, but actually all over this nation, we want to make God's glory name great. Amen? So to enlarge our tent is not just a physical thing. But when you think about it, why is God asking them to enlarge our tent? I live in a house, 4-room flat, because, you know, HDB flat, and my daughter used to be there, so it's just nice for us. But now my daughter is in Japan. I actually can downgrade. Sometimes she comes to me. But I can actually downgrade to 3-room flat. I don't need to enlarge my tent because I'm not about to have more kids, right? Although some people have a lot of kids, like coming to 6 already. But, you know, some of you are thinking, why should we enlarge? You want to enlarge your tent if you're going to have more people. Amen? So, you know, when I heard God say to me, enlarge your tent, you know, I went back and started talking to the staff. And I was sitting down and discussing this with Pastor Eunice. Because, you see, if you're serious about something, you put a number down, right? You think about, you know, I'm not just going to think about generally enlarge your tent. No, if I'm serious about it, we will think about how we're going to do it. So, Pastor Eunice, I asked him, Pastor, how did God say we're going to do this? Here's the thing. God never tell you how to do it. God didn't tell you to do it. You are supposed to figure out how to do it. You understand? Many times I tell my staff, do something. I don't explain to them how to do it. Otherwise, I might as well do it myself. Right? I believe God tells us because God has given us every gift, intelligence, creativity, resources, and strength. God has given us everything that's necessary for the edification of the church. Do you believe this? He has given us the Holy Spirit. So when God tells us to enlarge the tent, God never tells how to do it. But how is something that we have to decide. She was asking me, what are we going to do? So I said, let's try to grow Kus by 500 people by the end of this year. Right? We are already almost one third of the way through this year. 500 people. Do you think we can do it? So you're not very convinced, man. Seriously. I can tell. You don't say yes. Do you think we can do it? Seriously? I think we can. Last week already 44. We are trying to consolidate those, okay? Not every one of the 44 will remain. We already called them whole of last week. We prepared Bible for them this week. We call them, invite them. We have things that we want to give to them. But you know what? Some of them will say, oh, I live very far. I want to go to another church. Fine. We'll connect them to other church. It's okay, right? But you know what? We're going to work hard because we're going to try and do this. Now, if you hit or don't hit, doesn't matter. But whatever happens, we're going to come to the Lord and say, Lord, this is the first fruits. This is the fruits of your people. And we want to give this to the Lord. That would be a wonderful gift to give to the Lord. Come his birthday in December, don't you think? Don't you think? Right? Now, that means that every one of us have to do things every week. So, I mean, when I told the Saturdays, you know our Saturday service, it's now bursting at the seams, right? Yesterday's service, the whole area out there, you know, the whole counter area, it was chock full of people, right? Upstairs, outside, on the terrace, outside of the room, also full of people. So when I tell them we need to grow, they say grow where, you know? So I don't know how to grow, right? Actually, we all need to expand. I mean, I don't mean expand in the kind of like, you know, go fat kind of expand, right? But we all need to find ways. So I was sitting down yesterday night, I was thinking, how am I going to find space for them? But you know, for this service, that easily you can squeeze another 100 people in this place. I know upstairs, definitely that place got a lot. You know what? I need us to do three things. Three things we need to do, alright? First of all, we need to be leaders in evangelism. You know, Romans chapter 1 verse 16, it says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel. Can you say not ashamed? Are you ashamed of the gospel? Because you know why? Today's world is a politically correct world. It's trying to cause Christians to feel paiseh about the gospel, right? They feel, this is my private faith. Listen, Jesus didn't die as a private matter. It is a public matter, right? We make a public profession of our faith. We are not apologetic of the gospel. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans 1:16 that it is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then also for the Greek. Do you believe this? Do you believe that it is the power of God for salvation? Do you believe it? Right? I mean, imagine you suddenly have a very critical illness and you go to the hospital and they say, our doctor is busy right now. What will you say? Oh, in that case, I'll just die, lor. You won't say this one, right? Because it's a matter of life and death, isn't it? You say, can you get me another doctor? Cannot, I'll change hospital. I'll look, whatever I need to do, I'll do in order to find someone who can treat the sickness, right? But salvation is a matter of life and death, eternal life and death. So we must learn, train ourselves not to be cowed in by society, by the social mores that make us feel like very apologetic. I'm actually a Christian. Don't have to be apologetic. Jesus died for us. We don't have to be apologetic about it. It is the love of God. It is good news. Amen? So I need all of us to start to retrain our mind. Start sharing the gospel to your family members, to your children, to your friends, to your colleagues, wherever you are. You know, Luke chapter 24 says, you know, when people are oppressing you, don't have to worry, prepare to meditate what you want to say, because God will give you what to say. All you need to do is open your mouth. And that's the thing. Obey God sufficiently. Go forward and share the gospel. You know, they did share it with you, but there was one of these kids who accepted Christ. Non-Christian family. 10-year-old boy come to one of our Balikampung, the birthday party. And he was so convinced, he went back and started telling the dad. Now, the dad was not Christian, right? And the dad was telling him, you know, that you're too young for all these things. The 10-year-old boy told the dad, this is a personal decision. And since that day, the father don't allow him to come to church, you know, right? But you know what? That kid, that's what I tell you, new Christians always know the right thing to do. It's the old Christians who sometimes gain all the bad habit. We need to be unashamed of the gospel, right? Share the gospel. First thing. Second thing, You say, well, I don't know how to... Well, then you can invite people. Every service day. Are there any newcomers? Nobody. Then just say hello to one another, you know, social club. No. We are to be the light of the world. This is not our calling. Our calling is to reach out to the world. Amen? So, from this week onwards, reach out. I mean, start with the easy one, backsliders, people who used to come to church. Start with them. You know, Pastor Joseph and me, we are talking about, you know, there's somebody we know, is he never go to church for a long time. So we say, you church out him more. Because if both of us say enough, sooner or later the guy is going to cave in, right? And James says that the person who turns back this lost soul, that's a great work. He will cover a multitude of sins. That's a great reward in this. So start with those easy ones. Low-lying fruit. Get people who are backslider. Then start bringing your friends to church. Every service, I try to talk about the gospel in one way or another, right? Somewhere in the service, I'll say, if you have not received Jesus Christ, maybe today's your day. I always say this so that no matter which service, it's also an evangelistic service. Don't have to wait for Easter. Don't have to wait for Christmas, right? If you want to really enlarge your time, you've got to do it every week. So I hope that from next week onwards, you don't just come. Go and chuchok somebody, right? Bring somebody to church. Be a leader in inviting. Some of us are not used to it because so long you have no more non-Christian friends. You need to make friends. You know, one of my youth, last time, she just amazed me. Because every time we have event, I bring friends. You know, she'll bring 20 people, 25 people. In fact, we always have a segment for her alone, right? We can do this. I don't mean Daniel Wee. I mean, we all can do this, right? In fact, we have to do this. This is something I feel, if we want to have a growing church, we need to bring in the new wine, not just the old wine here. Amen? Okay, so next week onwards, you're not just coming to church. You're coming to church, you're bringing the church. You're bringing people with you. Amen? So every week we want to do this. Alright, so, second thing. Third thing, you need to be a leader in discipling. Now many of you will say, oh, discipling, Pastor, I'm scared. I never get trained before. I don't know how to do Bible study all day. Listen, I want to remove this false understanding or misunderstanding of discipling. Most of us actually, in this generation, probably never had somebody sit down to you with you and go through step by step discipling. Most of us didn't become disciples. You know how most of us get discipled? They say discipling Christianity is more often caught than taught. Right? You come to church, you see how people behave. After that, you start behaving the same way. New Christians will always come to church on time or early. Actually, usually they come early to church because they know church is about God. Must respect God, come early. They come 10 minutes or 15 minutes early. But after 2-3 weeks, they notice nobody does that. So they thought, maybe Christians don't respect God in this way. So, okay, I'll come on time. So after 3 weeks or 1 month, they start coming on time. And then they notice, nobody here still. I'm the only one. Feel very awkward. Maybe I should do as all the other Christians do. If they did it, means it's also okay for me to do it, right? Then after 1 year, 2 years, they settle in coming half an hour after the beginning of service. This is how most people are discipled. Nobody sat down with them and say, new Christian, this is the time that you should come to church. Nobody tell them that. This is what I mean. When we take leadership, every single one of us, by our behavior, you are unwittingly discipling the next generation of people. Do you realize that? Such a great responsibility. Every one of us, you know, you say, never mind, everyone else. No. Every single one of you are collectively contributing to the discipling of the individual that joins the community. Do you agree with me? This is common sense, right? But you know, common sense sometimes not very common. Well, people are weird nowadays, right? But actually, this is how most of the time it works. So, through your generosity, through your zeal, through your energy, you know, you go to certain churches, you notice they all have certain pattern, right? When I was many years ago, when I heard about City Harvest, I decided to spy on the church, right? So in order to go to that church, I didn't want to sit in front because people might recognize me, right? So I end up upstairs in a corner of the second door. This is when they were in Hollywood Theater, right? So I was upstairs, I went in and they started singing. And notice, City Harvest people have a kind of behavior. First of all, they all talk the same way. I wonder how they teach them all to talk the same way, right? They all talk like Pastor Kong like that, right? Then when they start singing, they all behave the same way. And they got very peculiar behavior. When they start singing, all of them like to jump. You know, they like to jump like this. Have you seen them? Right? They like to jump like that. And worst thing is that they all jump together, you know. Now, I'm on the second story. All of them are jumping like this. I can feel the whole second story moving. I was thinking, maybe it's not such a good idea to stand on this floor. Maybe I should go downstairs. And don't be underneath that part, right? Sit nearer to the front. If collapse, I won't die. How did they all learn to do this? Nobody go and tell them, hey, listen, this is how you worship God, right? How did they do it? They came in, they just observe other people. So when people come to our church, how would they observe? How would they learn how to worship God? They will look at you. So when they look at you, praise the name of Jesus. They look at you, right? They're thinking, oh, okay, hand must put like this. Praise the name of Jesus, right? Then halfway you fall asleep. They are, oh, can sleep. Sleep also, right? Then they look at this side. Someone is Googling, you know, praise the name of Jesus, what song, you know. Oh, I can also. Then I must just check my messages. This is how we set the culture of the church. Am I right? You know this is true. I'm not making this up, but this is true. So because we want to have a great church, we got to start to deal with all these little things. Otherwise the devil will use these small things and pull down the energy of the church. You know, when I talk about Jeff Sung, he's like this energizer bunny, right? If you don't become like this, we all become like sponge, you know, we suck the energy out of the church. Right? Church is going on, you come in, like this, tap, 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 tap. You see, what kind of church do you want to have for the next generation? I want to be an exciting church where everyone has the energy for the Lord, where they are sparing nothing, they are giving their best, and they are setting the example. So new people come in, oh, must raise hands, they jump up and down, they learn from you. You understand what I'm saying? We don't have class on how to worship. You are the class on how to worship. So when new people come in, slowly, slowly you go downhill. We don't want to do that. Amen? So we need to be leaders in evangelism, leaders in leading people to church, bringing them, inviting them to the community, bring them to your cell group. But we also want to be leaders in setting the tone for God. This will have an atmosphere of faith. Would you prefer that? Where people come in believing that God is going to do something. I want to be in that kind of church. Where people come in, they learn how to worship by looking at you. Right? So afterwards when you sing, make sure, because you never know who is looking at you. Right? Spare nothing. Okay. So these are the three things that we can do. But you know what? There's a promise. In fact, there are many promises associated. This whole chapter 54 has only one instruction verse. That's Isaiah 54 verse 2. Which I believe God is saying to Church Our Savior. And I believe God is saying to you individually. This is the time for you to rise up. This is the time for our staff to rise up. This is time for our ministry people to rise up. Sure, we got a lot of things we need to improve. Many things we got to learn. But one thing we got to do is we have to rise up. But when you rise up, what will happen is that all the blessings that follow become your blessings. Blessings like, do not fear, you will not be put to shame, says the Maker, your husband, the Lord, your Redeemer. For the mountains may depart and the hills may be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has mercy on you. That's right there in Isaiah 54. Verse 12, it says, I will make your pinnacles as rubies and your gates as a crystal, and all your walls will be like precious stones. You know, when you take care of the business of God, God is going to take care of your business. You know, we talk about Nicholas. Nicholas who just got married here, right? Who up to the last moment didn't know whether the TOP will come for his wedding dinner, right? You know, he believed in God. He says, no, there's no plan B. God will come through. You know why? Nicholas, I didn't mention this, but you know, he actually have opportunity, scholarship to study in Ivy League college, right, in America. But he turned that down to serve in Church Our Savior. Do you know that? And because he did that, he put God's business first. I'm sure God will take care of his wedding, you know. I say, T-O-P, O-P-T, P-O-T, whatever it is. God will look after his needs. Now, if we, all of us, when we think about God's kingdom, God says, you know what, I'm going to make your walls precious stones. God will bless us. Many, many things that God will promise. In fact, God says, you know, oppression will be far from you and terror shall not come near you. In Singapore, we are so scared of terror now. They say it's not a question of if, but when, right? But you know what? The Bible says if you do these things, God's blessing is such that terror will not come near you. Whoever assembles you against you shall fall, and no weapon that's formed against you shall prosper. And at the very end of that verse, that's verse 17, it says this. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. This is the reward of those people who do what? Who do verse 2. The people who serve the Lord in enlarging the tent. All these things, these are the promises of God's blessing for you. You know what? I believe God wants to bless us. But on our part, we got to do our part. We got to enlarge the tent, right? Strengthen our stakes. Stretch our cords. Make the curtains bigger. And then we can enlarge this tent for the kingdom of God. Amen. I mean, time is running, but I believe this is something very important. Because, you know, a few weeks ago, Pastor Singyan shared from Haggai. In Haggai, God was looking at the people and saying, look, you guys only do things for yourself, right? You earn money, but you put it into wallets and pockets and then money drop out because there's holes in it. You expected much, but it came to nothing. The reason is why? Because nobody dreamed for the kingdom of God. Everyone is dreaming for their own career, for their own family, for their own needs, for their own situation. But who is dreaming for? So God says, build the kingdom of God. Build the kingdom of God and God will take care of us. I believe this is something that we all want to do. So that one day, when you go and see God, when you walk up into the presence of God, God will say to you, good and faithful servant, enter into your rest. Well done. Good job with that, right? I want to hear God say that, not just for me, but for every single one of you, because you are part of this community that we are enlarging. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song, you know, where's the musician disappear already? Okay, they're somewhere, some of them anyway. Okay, they're out here, right? Okay. No long intro, okay? So, because no time also. Shall we stand together and let's pray? Actually, I keep looking at my paper, but I don't know where I am now in my paper, right? But I know that we're in the presence of God. Father, we thank you today because, Lord, this is a new season. It is a new beginning, and you're pouring out new wine into our lives. Father, we're going to pray today, Lord, that we will embrace the call that you've given to us, Lord. We will pick up whatever baton that we have in our hands and we will run with all our might. We will spare nothing. We will stretch our cords. Lord, we will lengthen the cords. Father, we pray, Lord, that you cause us to become effective, Lord. Father, we want to believe that when you do this, Lord, when we do this, all those blessings that we hear will become a fulfillment in our very own lives. So, Father, we commit ourselves to you. Give us the spirit and the zeal of the Lord in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus, we ask and we pray. Amen, amen, amen. Let's sing.
Are you ready for the promise? Enlarging the tent? Putting in the packs? I believe the promise. Amen?
I believe the promise about the visions and the dreams. Spirit will be poured out and His power will be seen. Well, the time is now and the place is here and it's people.
You are the people.
There's a mighty sound and a touch of fire when we're gathered in one place. I believe the presence of God is here. It's from within that can be changed when the Spirit of God is here.
www.whos.org.sg. God bless.